The marathon always teaches us amazing life lessons. But how has it changed since in 50 years? It's unbelievable. I think I can best explain it about how it felt to stand on the starting line again 50 years later mm-hmm. for my 50th anniversary at the Boston Marathon in 2017.
Und herzlich willkommen zum Achilles Running Podcast. Ich bin Eileen und heute begrüße ich euch zu einer ganz besonderen Edition. Denn wenn ihr den Podcast recht nah zum Release-Datum hört, stehen wir kurz vor dem Weltfrauentag. Den feiern wir jedes Jahr am 8. März und wir bei Achilles Running wollen den auch feiern, indem wir diese Podcast-Folge einer Frau widmen, die eine wahre Inspiration für Frauen im Laufsport ist. Weltweit. Ich meine Catherine Switzer. Und bevor ich euch ihre Geschichte erzähle und wir zum Interview kommen, ein kleiner Werbehinweis von unserem Partner Falke. Falke kennt vermutlich viele und spätestens, wenn ich Falke mit Socken in Verbindung bringe, bingo, da klingelt es, ne? Das hat seine Gründe, denn Falke hat selber den höchsten Qualitätsanspruch und das schätzen viele LäuferInnen, eben qualitativ hochwertige Socken, die halten. Dabei haben die von Falke für wirklich jeden Lauftypus die passenden Socken, angefangen vom absoluten Rookie über Fortgeschrittene bis hin zum passionierten Wettkampflaufender. Und sie haben auch Socken für ganz spezielle Bedürfnisse, wie der Falke Achilles. Diese Socken sollen LäuferInnen mit Achillessehnenbeschwerden helfen oder im besten Fall diese Beschwerden vorbeugen. Natürlich findet ihr auch Kompressionssocken oder andere leistungsfähige Sportkleidung im Sortiment von Falke. Und nun, ihr könnt sie alle mal ausprobieren und euch selber überzeugen. Wir haben da nämlich ein Special-Angebot für euch. Sucht euch eure Lieblingsprodukte im Onlineshop von falke.com aus, packt sie allesamt in den Einkaufswagen und benutzt dann den Code Achilles15, also Achilles15. Und ihr spart 15% auf alle, wirklich alle Artikel, nicht nur auf die Socken. Einfach Achilles15 eingeben und 15% sparen. Den Link packe ich euch natürlich in die Shownotes.
Ja, und jetzt zurück zu Catherine Switzer. Catherine Switzer hat Marathongeschichte geschrieben und den Laufsport massiv beeinflusst. Das ist nicht zu leugnen. Sie ist nicht die schnellste Marathonläuferin oder die mit den meisten Marathons oder eine sonstige Rekordhalterin. Nein, sie ist die Frau, die zum allerersten Mal offiziell einen Marathon gelaufen ist. Das war 1967, also vor mehr als 50 Jahren. Damals dachte man noch, Frauen seien nicht dazu in der Lage, einen Marathon zu laufen. Es gab Mythen wie, dass die Gebärmutter beim Laufen rausfallen könnte. Frauen durften damals nicht weiter als 2,4 Kilometer laufen. Das ist unfassbar. Aber gut, dass Catherine damals das nicht so ganz auf dem Schirm hatte und bereits voll im Lauffieber war. Ihr damaliger Trainer war zu dem Zeitpunkt, also Ende der 60er Jahre, bereits 15 Mal den Boston Marathon gelaufen und hatte ihr beim Training immer wieder davon erzählt. Also hat sich diese Idee vom Boston Marathon in Catherines Kopf halt festgesetzt. Sie wollte den dann halt auch laufen. Ihr Trainer glaubte aber tatsächlich nicht ganz so an sie. Sie musste ihm das vorher beweisen, dass sie die 42 Kilometer laufen kann. Das hat sie zum Glück auch gemacht und hat sich angemeldet, obwohl Frauen damals nicht wirklich vorgesehen waren für den Boston Marathon. Sie hat das damals gemacht, wie so wie fast überall, wie sie sich angemeldet hat, mit ihren Initialen. KV Switzer. Und deswegen wussten die Organisatoren auch nicht, dass KV Switzer eine Frau war und nahmen die Anmeldung an. Glück für sie und auch Glück für uns. So war sie halt die erste Frau, die offiziell für den Marathon angemeldet war. Und es war nicht das erste Mal, dass sie Glück hatte in diesem ganzen Szenario. Das zweite Mal war das Wetter am Wettkampftag. Am Wettkampftag war es nämlich richtig mies. Und so hat sie sich unter eine dicke Wollmütze geparkt, hatte so einen grauen Trainingsanzug und einen Hoodie an und war ein bisschen versteckt. Klar, einige Männer haben gesehen, dass sie eine Frau ist und haben Komplimente rausgeteilt, aber eben keiner von den Offiziellen. Bis sie halt irgendwann einige Kilometer schon unterwegs war Und hier entstanden auch die legendären Bilder. Also wenn ihr nach Catherine Switzer mal googelt, es gibt ziemlich geile Bilder, schaut ihr euch an. Jedenfalls war sie schon ein bisschen unterwegs und der Pressewagen fuhr an ihr vorbei. Und da saß halt auch der Race Director drin und ihm gefiel es überhaupt nicht, dass Catherine, eine Frau, da mitlief. Er dachte, sie würde sich über sein Rennen lustig machen und sprang vom Wagen, versuchte ihr die Nummer wegzunehmen, brüllte ein bisschen rum. Catherines damaliger Freund war mit im Rennen und tackelte den Race Director einfach mal weg. Schaut euch wirklich die Bilder an, es ist ein großer Spaß. Jedenfalls, das war eben auch ihr Glück, Catherine hat den Marathon beendet. Mit einer Zeit von 4:20 ist eigentlich völlig irrelevant im Zusammenhang, denn sie war die erste Frau, die offiziell den Marathon gelaufen ist. Klar, es gab auch schon vorher Frauen, die diese Distanz gelaufen sind, aber dadurch, dass dieser Moment auf Bild festgehalten wurde, hat es eine unglaubliche Strahlkraft bekommen, die viele Frauen inspiriert, bis heute und mich auch. Und seit diesem April im Jahr 1967 ist viel passiert. Catherine setzt sich für Frauen im Laufsport ein, ist mittlerweile selber mehr als 40 Marathons gelaufen, hat ihr eigenes Frauennetzwerk 261 Fearless gegründet. 261, warum? Das war die Startnummer damals vom Boston Marathon. Und damit will sie halt alle Frauen überall auf der ganzen Welt motivieren, Sport zu machen. Und ich hatte vor einiger Zeit, ein paar Tage vor meinem ersten Marathon war es, die große Freude, Catherine Switzer persönlich kennenzulernen. Nach einer Veranstaltung hatte sie noch kurz Zeit, um mit mir über die Entwicklung von Frauen im Laufsport zu sprechen, über weibliche Vorbilder und wie ihre Mutter sie zu ihrem ersten Buch inspirierte. Ich wünsche euch ganz, ganz viel Spaß bei dem Gespräch auf Englisch von Catherine Switzer und mir. Hi, Catherine.
Hello, Eileen. How are you?
I'm great. And you?
I'm excellent. I'm really happy to meet you.
I need to be honest, I'm very excited and nervous, and it's really a pleasure to meet you, and I'm really thankful that you took the time to talk to me, because my first marathon is on Sunday, and you're the person that inspired me a lot. Like many, many years ago, my sister started running, my older sister, and she told me the story about your first marathon. And of course, I went on Google and looked for the picture. I say, oh my God. So I would like to know. So you've got like 50 years of running experiences. So how do you see the change? Or how would you describe the change of women in sports, especially in running, over the last 50 years? I know it's a big question.
But first of all, I want to say how wonderful it is to meet you, and especially on the eve of your first marathon, which is very, very exciting. And it's going to be an amazing experience for you. Even if it's a bad experience, it'll be amazing and you'll learn something from it. And because the marathon always teaches us amazing life lessons. But how has it changed since in 50 years? It's unbelievable. I think I can best explain it. About how it felt to stand on the starting line again 50 years later for my 50th anniversary at the Boston Marathon in 2017, because I was surrounded by 13,500 women wearing a bib, and I had 125 friends on the 261 Fearless team with me. And in 1967, 50 years before, I was the only woman in the race with a bib, and I was only surrounded by men. They were wonderful men. I have to hand that to them, and my lucky stars that they were wonderful people. But it's changed completely. Women's attitudes have changed about what they can do, their sense of capability, the opportunities that not only have been given to them, but they've earned, and also that they've given themselves. They have stood up for themselves. They've believed in themselves. And through running, they have really become empowered. And through the empowerment, changes in law and in education and in the workplace, they have become empowered too. So it isn't just running that's empowered women, but it's gone a long way. And we're finding that running is very transformational for women. And I often say it works for every woman every time, because sometimes she feels she can't do anything or that she can't make a change. And actually, when she sees herself run that first step and then run that first kilometer or that first mile, and that becomes 5 miles, and then it becomes a marathon one day. She said, oh, my golly, I can do anything. Mm. So that's the biggest change. It's really a social revolution. And it's, in a way, not even about running anymore. It's about changing your life.
But still, women are not that visible in sports. When, like yesterday, I attended the press conference of the female elite team. Like, I don't know, half or even quarter of the audience, like today, it was for the male elite team. So still the interest in women's sports is much lower than the men, and this is...
Well, I think I'm going to disagree with you in terms of running.
Okay.
Because I think women get equal time, they get equal pay, and they get pretty much equal exposure in the press. But running is different. I think it was very, very awakening to the world when we had Women's World Cup football, soccer, this summer.
Yes.
The stadiums were full. And people are saying now, wait a minute, maybe it's really time for professional women's sports. So that was huge this year. Mm-hmm. That was a huge breakthrough. But in general, in sports, you're right. Even though, for instance, in the United States, where equality of sports opportunity is mandated in our public schools, we still do not get the exposure and the excitement that the men get. My view on this is, the problem is that the sports that are exciting and publicizable are still about speed, power, and strength. What's interesting is that women's sports is actually more about finesse, endurance, stamina, balance, and flexibility. We're just so young in the world of sports that we haven't developed the sports that will go with those attributes. Within the next 50 to 100 years, we're going to have sports created, and they probably created like by women like you, younger women who say, hey, we ought to have a XYZ relay with women of different capabilities and endurance that nobody's created before. I use the road running model a lot because the Berlin Marathon was created, you know, when I was a grown woman. And look what's happened now with marathons all over the world. They've become, you know, fixtures in our cities, whereas before, you know, it was just a one or two esoteric little events.
But still, I know what you're meaning, but a lot of women don't dare to enter like these long distance races. And how can we change that? How can we have an impact on women around us?
In general, I think we need to make an impact not just in running, but I just specialize in that because I am a runner, but basically in all sports. Tennis, for instance, is seeing pretty much equality of opportunity.
Yeah.
People are loving watching women play tennis now.
Mm-hmm.
In my lifetime, they used to laugh at women tennis players. Oh, you know, they're only a shadow of the men's game. Well, it's not the men's game anymore. It's women's tennis. It's a different kind of game.
Mm-hmm.
It's a different kind of sport. And that's the way I was also watching women's World Cup soccer this summer. It's a different kind of sport. It's not about speed and power. They are fast. They are powerful. But it was more about finesse and strategy and team playing. So we're going to see these changes being made. But what we can do to help create them better is, first of all, raise our little girls the same way we raise our little boys, by giving them equality of opportunities in sports situations, making play fun, not necessarily competitive, giving them a range of opportunities, whether it's running or it's basketball or it's soccer or field hockey or ice skating, whatever it is, give them the opportunities to excel and to choose and not feel that they can't do something. Also, always empower them with the fact that they can do something. Little kids always say, I can't. Mm-hmm. And you say, sure you can. Just take it slow. You don't have to be perfect. You know, just make that. Also, in terms of team sports, I think that communities can reach out and do a lot. I know that sometimes in school we play, let's say, field hockey or lacrosse.
Mm-hmm.
But then when we finish school, there aren't any community teams. So why don't we set up neighborhood teams, neighborhood communities, where after work, instead of going to the local bar and getting a drink, that you go out and
do some sports.
Yeah, do some sport together.
Okay, that's an idea. Do you think we have a lack of female role models in sports? When you watch the media, when you go outside and see the posters of the brands, I see more men still.
Yeah, that's true. Of course, yes. But and we're not lacking role models. We're lacking the publicity of the role models. Mm. Yeah, I see what you mean. Yeah, the big posters, you know. I was just watching Coming In and Out of Heathrow. They had all the men football stars from all the different clubs on a rotating banner. And I didn't see a single female athlete up there. And you're right, in advertising and endorsements. But the fact is that women are getting a lot more endorsements and are being paid well in sports, really, really well compared to being paid nothing in my lifetime. You know, they I don't know of one professional athlete when I was a girl who was getting paid to be a professional athlete. Mm-hmm. And then it wasn't until Billie Jean King started demanding pay in tennis that women got paid in tennis. And people were outraged. Why should she get paid? And I said, well, Rod Laver's getting paid. Why shouldn't she get paid?
It's
well,
a word.
It's different.
Yeah.
It's different. They say, I said, what's different? So that's changing. In running, again, I'm really proud of us.
Yeah.
The prize money is always equal between the men and the women.
So now but a few years ago, you founded your own organization, 261 Fearless. What is your main aim for your, what is it, organization, movement? How would you describe it?
We describe it actually as a network.
Okay.
I mean, people would know the word foundation. It's a nonprofit. Mm-hmm. It's a charity, but it's not quite a charity. Mm-hmm. And it is a movement because it's more than about just being in an organization. It's a belief and loving of running and movement and empowerment that it brings. But what we are doing is we're taking that simple act of putting one foot in front of the other, which is easy and it's cheap and it's accessible to any woman. Even if she's housebound, she can run around her house, okay? Mm-hmm. And letting her be empowered by taking her out and giving her the first step. And sometimes you just need a friend to do this. Again and again, women will say, I can't, or I'm afraid, or everybody's looking at me, or I really can't do that. They don't believe they can do that, and that they're shy and afraid of trying. And I don't think they're afraid of failure as much as they're afraid of looking silly. Mm. And for a woman who says, oh, I can't go out and run around my block, everybody would look at me. And I say, nobody is looking at you. And if you go out and watch a marathon, you see all ages, sizes, and abilities. And you say, hey, you know, if she could do that, I can do that. And that really helps a lot. But 261 Fearless is about taking you by the hand and giving you the opportunity to take the first step. Find a non-competitive, non-judgmental community of women mm-hmm. who are having fun together. We do not care how slow, how big, and how old or what race you are.
But 261 Fearless is not in like every village. So how can I get women around me, like in a village somewhere, to run?
Okay. It's not in every village, but I'm hoping someday it will be in every village. Okay. So it doesn't even have to be a 261 club, you know, where you have to get some training and get organized. You could just go out and say to a couple of your friends, hey, go for a walk with me and then break into a little trot or run or whatever. And then let's go get coffee and talk or something like that. It's how it begins.
So just be
just go ready. Out, you know, go out and knock on your next door neighbor's door and say, hi, Jane. How are you? What are you doing this afternoon at 4 o'clock? I'm going to go out for a run. You want to come with me?
Okay. Sounds very easy, but the reaction I got a lot from especially like my mom's generation is like, I can't do it. How can I convince them they can?
My mother.
What do you say?
Well, that's an amazing story too, because how old was I? 50? Yeah, I was just close to 50, 49. Okay. And I was talking to my mother. She was reading the newspaper, and she threw the newspaper down. And she said, all of these articles in the newspaper are telling us old women how we should start moving and exercise. And she said, but they're not telling us how. And I looked at her and I said, Mother, you've seen me put on running shoes and go out running, and you've come to my marathons for 35 years. What are you talking about? You just put on your shoes and go out. And she said, what shoes? What kind of shoes? How far should I go? What time should I go? Mm-hmm. Nobody's telling me these things. And I said, haven't you seen me do it? And she said, well, you're exceptional. I said, I am not exceptional. It I was so astonished that it drove me to write my first book, which was called Running and Walking for Women Over 40. And I dedicated mm-hmm. it to my mother. And so I took her by the hand. We went into a local shoe shop. We got her some running shoes, walking shoes as well, and got them on her feet. And I said, okay, we're going to go out together and we're going to walk up and down the road. And we did that. And then the next day I said, okay, we're going to walk up and down the road, but we're going to go 10 meters further. And pretty soon she was walking around the block. And then she kind of liked it because she was seeing her neighbors and everybody for the first time in a long time. And by the time she passed away, she was going out for like an hour and enjoying it and really feeling really good about herself.
Okay, Catherine. Thank you very much.
You're so welcome.
I wish you the best for your network of 261 Fearless.
Thank you. We want everybody to join us. Go to 261fearless.org and good luck to you for your first big Berlin marathon.
Thank you very much.
Start slow, finish fast.
Das war mein Gespräch mit Catherine Switzer. Ich hoffe, es hat euch gefallen, wenn ihr mehr über grandiose Menschen im Laufsport erfahren wollt. Dann abonniert sehr gerne unseren Podcast. Folgt uns auf Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn und Pinterest. Ich bin Aileen und ich wünsche euch eine wundervolle Laufwoche. Unterstützt die Frauen in eurer Umgebung, seid stark zueinander, verteilt ganz viel Liebe. Bis nächsten Mittwoch, keep on running. Tschüss.